Well, I'm so excited to be here today. If I haven't met you, my name's Kim Myers, and I am the pastor of worship here at St. Andrew. Jimmy Decker's on a vacation. He sent us a text. He's gone to California. And we've got Will Tiller with no socks, Scott Anderson with no socks, and he said half the men on the plane didn't have socks on, so he's afraid he's going to lose his socks in California. So we can all just send a blessing to Jimmy and his feet. We are continuing our parable story today, and we're going to look at really three parables, but kind of two. We're going to be talking about the salt and the light of the earth, and then what we are required to do with that. If you see above me the banner that is presented, it actually is so realistic. I've been there. I've been on this hillside where Jesus preached to, I want you to just imagine this before we get going. He preached to men, women, children, slaves, free, all on this seaside. Think about 2,000 years ago and what that actually means. And how profound that actually is. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, in the rolling of the hills, the heaving of the sea, the twinkling of the stars, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the longing of our minds, the calming of our hearts. We feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. We're going to start in Matthew. And I want to give context to these two scriptures. We're going to talk about Matthew, and we're going to talk about some in Luke today. And really, the way that I've divided it out in my mind, in Matthew, it is our call to influence, our call to influence others. And in Luke, it is our call to be faithful. So hear now this in Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. Okay, I'm going to pause there before I go on. You are the salt of the earth. You. Jesus looked at the people and said this to them. And you have to understand this day and time. Do you know that salt was a currency? It's where the word salary comes from. Because people used to pay Roman soldiers and tax collectors in salt. It was vital to life. Not only did it preserve your food, but it also added a little taste to it. I actually got to experience a little bit of life without flavor this week. The boys and I went to Orange Beach, Alabama. All right, we took a road trip with the mom, and it was delightful, y'all. We didn't do a thing. We just sat on the beach and ate food. It was perfect. But we get to the Airbnb. I'm a planner. Those who know me, I color code things for fun. And I ordered groceries on the way there on my app to have it delivered when we arrived. So I'm like, I got this. Guess what I did not put in my order? Salt and pepper. Any seasoning whatsoever. I go to make the taco night, and I'm like, well, here's the ground turkey. And the ground turkey, right? I ended up like throwing some salsa in there and a little cheese. It was fine, right? My boys would eat anything, so it really doesn't matter. But there was no seasoning. There was nothing to make our dinner better. And yet, Jesus calls us what? The salt of the earth. We are to preserve our faith, and we are to give it some flavor. But he doesn't stop there. I love how Jesus teaches. He gives people just this practical knowledge, something to hold on to. Because in case you didn't understand that you were the salt of the earth, he goes on. And he says simply, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This reference to light is connected to Isaiah 4:6. Don't worry, I didn't give you all this scripture, so pay attention. I'm going to read it. It will serve as a pavilion, a shade by day, a refuge and a shelter from the storm. So if you didn't understand that you're the salt of the earth, maybe you'll understand that you are the light. You are to shine brightly God's love to others. I'm going to reference a lot of my beach trips, so just come with me. I was amazed how fast it got dark. Like the sun would go down, and then it is pitch black on the beach. Pitch black. You could see some brilliant stars, but other than that, it is dark. You hear the sounds of the waves, but you don't even really see them. Except for one night, we were sitting out on the balcony, and there was a ship way out. It felt way out. I don't know how far out it was. But it had a bright light. And it was like literally the only thing you could see on the ocean was this bright, shining light. And if you think about it, here he is preaching from the Sermon on the Mount, and he is connecting with all these people who understand the importance of light. Like you and me, we don't get it. We don't understand the importance of salt. We freeze things. We go to the store. We buy them. We have them delivered to our home. We also don't understand the importance of light. The boys and I left. My husband, sadly, I don't know how sad he actually was, but couldn't get off work. And so he texted us as we are on the road, thank you so much for reminding me you were here. Every light is on, the garage is up, and there's music playing upstairs, right? The light just is there. In fact, this room is something, when I have to come in here during the week and these doors are closed and all the lights are off, you have to come in through the kitchen door and stumble through to the light switch over here. This room is dark. And 99% of the time, I have a watch or a phone, and I can highlight my way out there. But light is vital. Light is crucial. And for the people that God is talking to in this moment, they get it. They get the importance of what life and light does to life. And Jesus has called you the light. You are the salt, and you are the light. Feels really simple when you think about it that way, yet also it can feel very heavy and profound that Jesus gives us this task of being the salt of the earth and the light of the sky, of the way. So what do we do with that? Let's move to Luke, and before I start reading the scripture, I want to give it some context. Jesus, again, had been preaching to many, many people. In the very beginning of this scripture, Peter, I kind of see Peter as the disciple that, like, when all the other disciples had questions they didn't want to ask, they're like, hey, Peter, ask Jesus this. Right? So you'll see Peter asking a lot of questions in scripture. Mainly it's because I think he was the one bold enough or naive enough to ask these questions. And just before this passage, Jesus had talked about how to be a good, faithful steward, how to spend your time and your money and your love and your caring and just walking this earth with intent and integrity. And then Peter goes, hey, Jesus, are you talking to us? Are you talking to them? What I love about Jesus' teaching is he doesn't roll his eye and deep sigh, or he might have, I don't know, I wasn't there. He continues to talk, and he gives a different story. Now, this story is intense. This parable gets you to sit up and listen, because Jesus also does that well, right? Salt and light, simple. You are here to make the earth more fruitful and bring the light to all the people. How do you do that, you might ask? Well, let's go here. Last night when I preached, by the way, my boys had taken all my bookmarks out of the book of the Bible. They thought it was really funny. So did I. But I fixed that for this morning. Don't worry about that. So we're looking in Luke now, 12 verses 41 through 48. And what's interesting, this is what Miss Rachel talked about today. Okay? And it starts like this. Peter says, Lord, are you telling this for us or for everyone? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and prudent manager whom his masters will be put in charge of slaves to give them their allowance and food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave who his master will find at work when he arrives. Truly, I tell you, he will put that one in charge of all of his possessions. But if that slave says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and he begins to beat the other slaves and men and women and eat and drink and get drunk, and the master of that slave will come on a day where he does not expect him, and an hour where he does not know, this is where it gets a little dicey, he will cut him into pieces and put him with the unfaithful. I'm going to pause. In some translations, it says he will cast them aside, right? But this is where, if you're kind of losing focus when Jesus is talking, and he says, and he will cut them into pieces, you sit up. You pay attention. And he goes on. He goes on. That master that will come on a day, okay, the slave who knew what his master wanted, but did not prepare himself to do what was wanted, will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what was deserved, a beating will be received light. From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded. Let's go back to who you are. You are the salt and the light. So what do you do with that? Jesus is telling you that you are to care for others. When I was a school teacher, as my kids call it, back in the 19s, yeah, I remember those days. And I used the word integrity in my classroom. And when I taught anywhere from first grade to middle school, but all of them, I'm like, okay, it's fancy word time, and it's integrity. And the simple way of defining integrity, which is what Jesus is talking about here, is doing the right thing when nobody's looking. It's what I wanted each and every child in my class to know and understand, that I expected them to have integrity in this room. If I had to go make a copy, run to the restroom, answer the phone, you were to do the same thing as if I was standing in this room. Now, integrity takes some learnings, right? It's not something that actually comes naturally to us as humans, which is what God is talking about here, right? And then there's also, this is, right, talking about what? Jesus' death, resurrection, and return. Do you see that parallel there? I will come back when you're not expecting it. So let's go back to the time that they're in. This is the day and time where they're expecting it. They're reading these stories and they're like, Jesus is coming back any day. They are living their life with purpose and integrity because they walked with Jesus. And if they didn't walk with Jesus, they knew someone who did. How cool is that? To have that energy and that desire and that purpose that actually came from knowing God. And here we are 2,000 years later, with our lights that we leave on, with our groceries that are delivered. We've gotten real comfortable with this life that we live today. Or maybe I'm just speaking to myself. Do we live life and our faithfulness with the intent back at the beginning that we are the salt and the light of this earth? He said that to you. Even on your day where you're being salty, Jesus is your true center. And if it's not, we're in this season of Lent to what? To recenter, to refocus, and to remind ourselves who we're called to be, to live in our faithfulness with the integrity that Jesus taught us. Nowhere in this scripture does it say we are called to be perfect. But we are to mirror the one who was. With our weakness and our fragility, we go back to the center of Christ calling for us, and we are reminded that it is this simple. You are the salt. You are the light. And live it out with integrity, with purpose, with faithfulness in Christ each and every day. I have 1 minute, but I'm going to tell a quick story anyway, so just simmer down. We were at the beach all week, and I would get up early and have my coffee on the balcony and just think that my life was like suburb, right? And one thing that I loved doing while I was drinking my coffee on the beach is watching Corbin and his employees set out the beach chairs. So if you've ever been to the beach, the men and women who set out the beach chairs can carry like 18 chairs and 4 umbrellas at once, right? That's an exaggeration, but really, at one point I counted 6 chairs and 3 umbrellas, right? And he's just carrying these out and plop, 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 setting them out. And I sat down and talked to him one day, and I was very curious how you like become the dude on the beach that puts out the chairs, right? He's from Texas, and he just said, I just wanted to try something different. And what I love about this beach is we're all just people. I am loving this job, not because I like wake up in the morning excited about putting out chairs, but I get to interact with so many different people. I have learned so much in these 6 months that I've been putting out beach chairs. I've learned how to de-escalate conflict of the umbrella not being perfect. But I've also learned that when you're on the beach, you're all in flip-flops, you're all in board shorts, you're all in bathing suits. Nobody is like fancier than the other person. I've learned from CEOs. I've learned from pastors. I've learned from teachers. I've watched families who I one day want to be like. I've watched families who I've learned what not to be. And this is just this Corbin from Houston who just decided he would try this for a while. And he saw the goodness in humanity. Because I saw people interacting with Corbin. And he very well could have seen the saltiness of humanity. Yet he chose to see the light and be the light. And we got to talk about it a little bit. He probably doesn't even remember my name or remember our conversation, but he inspired me to see the goodness in people. As I had been reading this scripture all week, sometimes I think we can see the anger, the fear, the tiredness, the comfort. And God calls us to see and be the light of this world. So as you continue your journey in Lent, and band, I'll stop talking now. You can start coming up. Where do you need to be the light? Where do you need to maybe preserve your own faith, but also add the flavor that only you can bring? Where does your light need to shine? And here's the thing. I said it's salt, light, and faithfulness. It is that easy. I'm also going to be real. It's salt, light, and faithfulness, and it is that difficult. But here's the joy. It's not about us. It's about what God can do through us. Get out of the way. Allow yourself to be a beacon of the light and the hope of Christ. Just try it for a day. Smile to somebody you might not. Be grounded in your scripture and your faith. Surround yourself with others who put you on that path. Because it is who we're called to be. And how do I know that? Because Jesus looked you in the eye and said, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light." Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, as we go about this week and the days and weeks to come, let us be who you've called us to be. Let us free ourselves from all the clatter and clutter and noise of this busy world and take a breath and see the light that was within us, that was given from you. Let us shine that wherever we might go. We say this in your holy and precious name. Amen.